Inside Chicago Government. ShyGov.com.
Welcome to another in a series of interviews with Ben Jarofsky. I'm Dave Glowatz. Ben writes on government and politics for the Chicago Reader. He's here with me today. Welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you, David.
Today we're talking about tax increment financing.
My favorite subject.
Is it?
I really enjoy talking about tax increment financing, yeah. Why deny it anymore? Obviously, I've spent many years writing about it.
Well, you're going to have a good time today.
Okay. It's a fascinating topic.
Tax increment financing is the phenomenon of...
I always love it when people try to explain tax increment financing. You're on. Go.
In the city of Chicago, there are 130-plus special tax increment financing or TIF districts in which the city of Chicago skims a portion of the property taxes and puts it into special funds.
Very well put. I like that.
And those funds have accumulated, you know, somewhere to $1.3 to $1.5 billion right about now.
That sounds about right.
Depending on who you talk to. So it's become quite an issue of this money sitting around, or what some people think is sitting around. And that's what we're going to talk about, because this week the City Council Finance Committee deferred action on an ordinance introduced last July for sort of doing something with all that money sitting around, what has been called the TIF surplus. And you wrote about it in an article that appeared in the Chicago Reader on September 8th, 2016, titled Fantasy Flick. Online, it's titled CPS's Fantasy Infomercial Avoids Any Talk of Strikes, Layoffs, or Budget Cuts.
Yes.
We'll go back to just July 20th, 2016, when Alderman George Cardenas of the 12th Ward and Alderman Susan Sedlowski-Garza of the 10th Ward rounded up several dozen aldermen to co-sponsor a proposal that, if it became law, would force the city to every September identify TIF funds not required, pledged, earmarked, or otherwise contractually obligated.
Mm-hmm.
And this ordinance nails down the definition of obligated in terms of legally binding written documents. And it says the city must publish all this evidence on a website. Then, after it identifies all those funds that are not so-called obligated, the city must forward the portion that should go to the Board of Education that would have originally gone to the Board of Education by the following December. And we know from looking at our tax bills, our property tax bills, that somewhere in the neighborhood of 54% of property taxes in a given place
would go to the Board of Education, would go to the Chicago Public Schools.
Where it would have originally gone anyway, had it not been set aside.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Set aside, diverted, funneled, whatever word
siphoned
you want to use.
Is the
siphoned,
word we like.
Yes. Skimmed off the top. That was a good one.
So back when this ordinance, this Cardenas-Garza ordinance, was introduced in July, it was shunted to the City Council Finance Committee, which took it up this week. They debated it.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk about the whole issue of this surplus and why we should care and the intricacies about it. But this finance committee turned into a little bit of a drama. And while I wasn't there, I monitored several people who were live tweeting.
Oh, okay. That's one way of doing it.
It was kind of fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of watching the transcription of the live events.
That's a good way to do it.
So as it developed, many of the supporters of this ordinance, the Cardenas-Garza ordinance, showed up for the meeting, which was advertised to start around 2 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And this included apparently a bunch of parents of CPS students and activists who have been activated around this TIF issue. And these people got annoyed after the chairman, 14th Ward Alderman Ed Burke, juggled the committee agenda by putting other items up first.
Oh, big surprise,
So after sitting through these other items for a while, the activists and the parents got a little agitated and they started chanting.
Okay.
And this is what they sounded like. They're saying we want to vote. In other words, they wanted this issue to be brought up and not further deferred.
Mm-hmm.
So reportedly, it was at least 4 o'clock before the committee got around to discussing the TIF ordinance.
Taking their time.
Yeah.
Why rush? You know, the schools are only bankrupt, so...
And apparently, some of these activists were parents, so they had to leave to go pick up their kids from school.
Irony of all irony. Okay,
So reportedly, it was about 4 o'clock before the committee got around to discussing the TIF ordinance. In that discussion, Alderman Walter Burnett of the 27th Ward said, quote, "I cannot support this. I cannot hurt my people to help someone else," unquote. Turns out he's a co-sponsor of the ordinance being debated.
Yeah.
It was an interesting revelation, apparently, to the Alderman Garza. That's kind of big. That's why they call him freshman.
Yeah.
And then some other developments. Alderman Arena, John Arena of the 45th Ward, submitted an amended ordinance that would reportedly add language to ensure that CPS uses surplus at particular schools. In other words, if a school had had programs cut in a previous year, it would tailor the applying of the surplus to remedy those cuts at those schools.
Hmm.
Yeah, apparently Alderman Cardenas liked that. Chairman Burke said he didn't think the committee should vote without the input of Budget Director Alexandra Holt.
Ah, okay.
Who then showed up.
Yeah, she magically appearing out of nowhere.
And she had some objections to the proposal. She opined that the proposed ordinance would sweep so-called surplus from more TIF districts than perhaps people thought it would. She said that the only ones that it wouldn't touch, quote, would need to be projects adopted by the city council, end quote. So she was talking about how the city council would have to anoint TIF districts to sort of keep them immune from being raided and perhaps what some might call a little alarmist. So the discussion went on like this, and in the end, Alderman Cardenas asked that his ordinance be held in the committee rather than voted up or down, and Alderman Burke agreed.
I see.
So that's...
That was the answer to the question I asked you originally.
What happened?
What happened to the ordinance, yes.
So, Ben, I'm a little confused about this, and here's why. Back in early August, 47th Ward Alderman Amaya Pawar announced his own TIF surplus ordinance.
Yeah.
On August 9th, 2016, Alderman Pawar and Mayor Rahm Emanuel jointly said that they're drafting an alternative to the Garza Cardenas proposal.
Oh my God, this is hilarious. Yeah, go on.
It's different in that it let each alderman opt out of new TIF projects in their ward.
Yeah.
I've talked to staff at each of the aldermen's offices, Pawar, Cardenas, Garza.
Yeah.
Alderman Cardenas's staff did not know of the existence of Alderman Pawar's proposal.
I don't know if it's ever been officially written and drafted, has it?
Alderman Pawar's staff said there's nothing in writing about it.
Yeah, so I think it was just sort of an idea that got floated to the newspapers.
It was written up rather extensively in the Sun-Times. I emailed it to the alderman's, Alderman Cardenas. Here, you can take a look. Likewise, Alderman Garza's staff is not sure what's going on with that ordinance either.
Mm-hmm.
But this heavily advertised media event, Pawar proposal, has not shown up. It didn't show up in the Finance Committee discussion. What's going on here?
Where do we start? Let's start with a couple basics. One, our school system is broke. It has been broke for the last several years. And so every year there's cuts, layoffs, etc., and always a clamor for more money. The mayor is very reluctant to funnel more property tax dollars to the schools than he already is doing because that would contradict his official line that he's holding tight on property taxes, a mantra that he picked up from Mayor Daley and keeps professing, even if it's not true. The TIFs, meanwhile, are a skim, as you put it. So it's a tax hike, but it's concealed from people. And the official policy of this mayor, as it was with the previous mayor, is to pretend that taxes are not going up for the TIFs. And so the money is just quietly deposited in these bank accounts. And he, the mayor, is free to spend it as he wants. And what the local aldermen realize is that it's the only disposable source of cash available. And so if they cut off the flow of TIF dollars into the bank accounts in order to divert the money back to the schools from whom the money was taken in the first place, they, the aldermen, won't have money to spend in their wards.
So disposable, let's illuminate a little bit here that the aldermen do have some discretionary funding at their disposal.
Yeah.
$1.3 million, which is their so-called menu money, which means that there is a list of menu items that they can spend this stuff on each year, like sidewalks, street repair, streetlights.
So that counts for, let's say, $1 million a year, $1.1 million. Let's say it's 50 wards. That's $50 million. 1 year TIF haul. Last time, I think it was like $470 million. So every year, without fail, anywhere between $400 to $500 million in property taxes gets deposited into TIF bank accounts. It's serious money. The administration doesn't broadcast that the money's being deposited. It does no overall accounting of how much money is in the bank accounts. It won't even tell you what the reserve is that's unencumbered. We don't know how much money is at our disposal that's sitting in these bank accounts because the city won't tell you. It was only because an activist named Tom Tresser, we can't give him enough credit for this, took the trouble of going through all these different TIF annual reports and calculated, added together 140 or whatever it is, TIF bank accounts to come up with the $1.3 billion figure, $1.4 billion, whatever it is, are reserves, at which point Mayor Emanuel and the aforementioned Holt, who's his budget director, said, well, that's encumbered. So then Tresser and the activists said, well, show us the documentation. And then, of course, the mayor did not produce it because he doesn't want to give up this money. He's no different than the alderman. It's a source of power, political power, just being able to dispense this money totally free of any oversight. So they didn't want to give it up. Well, if the schools were flush, I think people would be content to let this scam go on forever, except for you and me would be the only people talking about it. But because the schools are in need of money, the Chicago Teachers Union and parent groups have fashioned all these TIF funds as a source of money to keep the schools from going bankrupt. So now we have this struggle. Will the mayor and the aldermen give up this flow of money, which is power, to prevent the schools from going bankrupt? Or will they hold on to that money, which is power? It shows these initial discussions anyway show that they're choosing their own political power over the future of the schools.
There are two things I want to extract from what you're talking about. One is that the administration has succumbed to some pressure to release some of what the surplus is. And again, we could talk about in a little more detail what constitutes a surplus. And the other thing is the reason for Alderman Burnett's statement where he said, I cannot hurt my people to help someone else.
Yeah.
The reason that he is saying that is because what happens here is when the TIF district accumulates money because of property taxes in that district, that money usually can be spent only in that district. If there's a district next to it, it can be spent, and that's a technicality.
Yeah.
But that district is in a particular ward, and therefore that ward is a beneficiary of that spending. Therefore, that alderman is a beneficiary of that spending.
Yeah.
So that is the challenge that somebody like Garza has and Cardenas has been getting this ordinance out, because what you're saying is that this has become a way for the administration to sort of lavish benefits onto particular aldermen in a particular wards because the administration controls the funds.
This is why I'm so fascinated with TIFs. One of the many reasons, what they used to call golden handcuffs. Mayor Daley figured this out and Mayor Rahm picked up on it. He's not a stupid man, and this is not even that complicated of a scheme, but the money enables him to buy the loyalty of people like Burnett, because, again, it's the only source of discretionary, or it's the largest single source of discretionary money. They could spend it ever they want. And yes, you're right, it's not equally distributed. That's another flaw with the program. The program benefits gentrifying neighborhoods, just the way it's set up. I won't bother with an explanation of that. It's long in detail, and I think we've actually discussed this before. But a gentrifying neighborhood benefits the most from this program. A poor neighborhood benefits the least because there's the least amount of growth in a poor neighborhood. Well, Walter Burnett happens to have several gentrifying neighborhoods in his ward, all with TIFs. So there's big money flowing in, far more than, let's say, Alderman Anthony Beal, who represents the Ninth Ward in the South Side.
Just to clarify for our listeners, the reason that's the case, because in gentrifying wards, the property values are increasing. And when property values increase, the increment of these tax increment financing districts increase, and that money that's set aside is siphoned off, gets larger.
Excellent. I give you an A-plus on that. I said I wasn't going
to
offer the explanation,
so well,
but you
today.
Did it. You're really on a roll. So, yeah, so on top of everything else, it's really unfair. The program's unfair. If you think of it as the administration will try to get you to think about it as an investment into infrastructure, a necessary investment into our city's future, then we have to change the way the money is awarded, because it's not fair that Alderman Burnett gets far more money than Alderman Beal's ward, or that Alderman Dow gets far more. She's in the third ward, another gentrifying area, that Alderman Dow gets far more money than, let's say, Rod Sawyer's ward. It's just not fair to these other neighborhoods. So there's so many flaws in this program that it should be significantly changed and altered, but they're not going to do it because it's a source of so much money and power. They're in a box because the number one rhetoric that most politicians offer up is that nothing is more important than the schools. But I think the reality is nothing is more important than their own reelection. So since the flow of TIF money into these bank accounts is key to them holding on to power by distributing favors, etc., they're not going to change the program unless there's a tremendous amount of upheaval and pressure. This is pretty significant, the fact that Cardenas and Garza signed on to this.
What do you think is going on with the whole Pouar match? One possibility that occurred to me is that Emanuel did an end run with Pouar to neutralize these other people.
That's exactly right.
And they're not talking to each other, Pouar, Garza, and Cardenas.
Yeah. So here's one of my favorite aspects of the TIF program, and there's so many things to talk about. You guys, why people are always so interested? I go, I can't believe everybody's not interested in this. This is like fascinating. So one of the things is it's a complete and utter scam and sham. The public knows about that much. Like I've told you this before, the average person in the street knows, oh, there's something shady about this thing. So Mayor Rahm, smart political that he is, came into office and he said, I have to reform this. So the first thing he did was he set up a Blue Ribbon Committee to investigate TIFs, and he came up with proposals that he claimed he had reformed it. Well, of course, he hadn't reformed it. He ignored many of the proposals by his own Blue Ribbon Committee, just wanted to divert people's attention and make them think he reformed. I think he got a couple favorable editorials from the Tribune crediting him for reforming it.
What?
I know, the Tribune, always there at the vanguard. But every now and then, even though he reformed it early on, he feels compelled to say he's reformed it again. So Amaya Pouar's proposal, which apparently is not really a proposal, but it was just something that the Sun-Times wrote about as a possible proposal, is another one in the line of these reforms that's not really reform, but is concocted to get people to think that he's reformed a program he has actually no intention of reforming because it works so well for his political interests, the he being Mayor Rahm.
I don't want to go too far down the political rabbit hole here.
But
your alderman, Pouar.
Blaming me. That's unbelievable.
By association.
Yeah, I mean, your alderman. He's your alderman.
I've suggested perhaps you might have some insight here for that reason.
Yes. All right. It's my fault that TIFs end up in reform.
Do you think he is an unwitting stooge in this?
I would never call him either unwitting or stooge.
But he knew what Cardenas and Garza did.
Yes. And I think that's part of the reason he hasn't pushed hard to advance this ordinance is because he doesn't want to be perceived as being an unwitting stooge.
But it sent a signal to these 30-odd aldermen who were co-sponsors of the Garza-Cardenas ordinance.
I believe Pouar was a co-sponsor.
He was.
Yeah. And when you say co-sponsor, technically they've signed on to it.
I happen to have the ordinance.
No,
right,
I know.
Right
I've seen the same list.
What they do is they managed to get everybody who puts their signature on the last page that we have.
Yeah. There's people who say they support it by signing it, and there's people who actually formally introduce the matter. Whatever. Reforming TIFs, this is our great success. Let's take a moment to pat ourselves on the back. The need to claim that you're reforming TIFs has become a political reality in the city of Chicago. At the same time, there is a practical effect of reforming the TIF program, which would be to take away the political power that comes from controlling tens of millions of dollars without any oversight. So we have to somehow or other bamboozle the public into thinking they reformed a program that the powers that be have no intention of reforming. This has been going on now since Mayor Rahm entered office. Mayor Daley, to his credit, didn't even pretend that the program needed reforming. I say to his credit because at least he was honest about it in a dishonest way.
You're not the first to speak favorably about the former mayor in that regard.
Yes, he invented it. It was his scam. He wasn't going to give it up.
You talked about how in our journalism and in the activism that's gone on around TIF, this to me is the workings of democracy, right? I myself will take only very small credit for this. The activism around this has created enough political pressure on the administration that we're now seeing things like these ordinances come up and there's pushback, right?
Yes.
And we can see that in that finance committee. Going back to the Pouar proposal, during the announcement for this, the announcement was cast as converting an executive order of Emanuel's into law. And it's a 2013 executive order.
Wait, we reformed it in 2013? Why are we even discussing this?
We were successful years ago.
Yeah.
This executive order from the mayor was that the city declare at least 25% of the unrestricted cash balance of, quote, healthy, unquote, TIF districts as a surplus and return the cash to all the taxing bodies, including CPS. Just to read from it a little bit, it's called the Declaration of TIF Surplus Funds in TIF Eligible Areas. It says the city will declare a surplus in a particular TIF district after identifying A, the cash balance of TIF funds designated for future use, B, subtracting the amounts needed for expected project commitments and tax liabilities. If the difference is at least 25% of the original cash balance, then the city declares that a surplus. The district has to be at least 3 years old, have a balance of at least $1 million, and can't be dedicated to a single project. So that was an executive order. And I'm guessing that was the basis for which ever since then in the 2014, 2015, and 2016 budgets, the administration has declared
the
surplus.
The scam.
It was the highest one was like $35 million or something.
Was that what it was? And then somehow or other, every time they tally the total, it's higher than it was, even if you add all the numbers together. I was just having a conversation with your favorite alderman, Prococho Marino, the other day about this. And he was going, Ben, how can you complain? They've given back $700 million. I'm like, Joe, where'd you get $700 million? What the? So it's like people say any old thing when it comes to TIF. And you know what? Just reading what you said shows you the genius of the TIF program. It's so complicated and convoluted. Here's all you need to know, people. It's a tax hike. That's what it is. It's a tax hike, and the proceeds go into these funds. So if they treated it as what it is, a tax hike, then we could begin to have an honest discussion about, okay, if we're paying more in taxes for this program, how do we want the money spent? Do we want the money to flow unfairly, inequitably into these bank accounts so that some neighborhoods benefit more than other neighborhoods? Do we want the money kept from the schools except for that amount that the mayor figures he can let go? Or do you want this money to be freely distributed on an equal basis to all wards for economic development and then have to raise taxes to pay for the schools without having to come to the mayor on bended knees for TIFs? But, you know, we're never going to have anything resembling an honest discussion because the program that we're talking about is so completely dishonest.
Well, you know, that Cardenas Garza ordinance is still there in the Finance Committee for further consideration.
There. Yeah, it'll be there, I think, when the dinosaurs return to the earth. So they decided not to
call it for a vote.
To have a vote. Yeah, so I don't know what the parliamentary rules are. I guess it could be brought back at the next Finance Committee hearing. It's interesting because there's a device they have, a legislative parliamentary maneuver, where a matter can be called from committee from the floor of a full council meeting. The fact that Cardenas asked that there be no vote on it means they're not going to pull that stunt, but maybe they will.
I don't know. Maybe they will.
Yeah.
Going back to this issue of the TIF surplus going, or a portion of the TIF surplus going back to Chicago Public Schools as opposed to being dedicated to the district in the ward that the money was skimmed from.
Mm-hmm.
In a given budget year, CPS always gets the property tax levy it requests.
Mm-hmm.
Check me on this. Up to the statutory limit.
Mm-hmm.
There's a percentage cap on how much they can raise property taxes every year, regardless of how much is siphoned off by TIF districts. Is that correct?
Yeah, they could get more if the TIFs didn't exist because the law allows the taxing bodies like the schools to recover whatever growth there is in a TIF district, because that's the whole purpose of the program, is to increase the tax base, to increase the amount of property taxes that flow into the coffers. So they could get more money if the TIFs didn't exist. But the argument that was first advanced to me by Forrest Claypool, who's now running the schools, years ago when he was a county board commissioner, was why would they care about the What a cynical argument. Why would the school board care? They're getting their levy anyway. So why do they care that the public is spending more in the name of schools than they're led to believe that they're paying more for schools and the money's just getting skimmed?
When he speaks of that, he's speaking of CPS?
Yes, he's speaking of CPS.
Never mind that the taxpayer has to pay more for the tax increment financing.
Well, at the time he was a reformer, in quotes, a reform-minded Cook County Board Commissioner who was always declaring that he was going to stand up for the property taxpayers, but he was unwilling to take the stand against Mayor Daley at the time and join the effort to reform this program. But his point was that CPS is getting its levy, so what do they care about the skim that is going into the coffers?
Which he now heads.
Right. He doesn't seem to care. That was the point of the column I wrote. If you're going to take the mayor's appointment, if you're going to run the system as his appointee, then you have to put up with this program, even if it's not in the best interest of your students who you're supposedly looking out for. Number one, Claypool and Janice Jackson, the two leaders of Chicago Public Schools, did this video, which they claimed were all one, we're all together with Chicago as with CPS, and they're quiet as, you know, tens of millions of dollars fly out the window from a bankrupt system.
Let's listen to a portion of that video, and this is Chicago Public Schools Chief Education Officer Janice Jackson speaking in that video.
We're making three commitments to our community. Number one is continuing with the academic progress that we've made over the past few years here in CPS. We also want to ensure that there's financial stability for the district. And then the last piece is integrity, restoring public trust around Chicago Public Schools. This is a large organization. We all have to be on the same page. We all have to be clear what the major priorities are for the district. For me, it's really exciting to have the opportunity to talk to stakeholders and share with them not only our three commitments, but how we plan to achieve them, but more importantly, what their role is in helping us achieve those goals.
I haven't heard Ms. Jackson talk much about tax increment financing at all when she talks about she's making sure that the stakeholders understand what they're committing.
Yeah, I don't believe she's ever discussed it. At least I've never heard her discuss it.
But one person who has criticized the TIF surplus proposals is a CPS finance official. He criticized the use of TIF surplus during a school board budget hearing in August. This is from the Chicago Tribune on September 6, 2016. It wrote, quote, "The budget of the city's school board approved in August estimates $32.5 million of TIF surplus money will be available this year, a steep reduction from what the district said was a greater than expected surplus last year," unquote. And the criticism I mentioned came from a guy named Ron Denard, who is a CPS senior vice president of finance. And Denard said, quote, "The mayor has continued to commit to us to provide as much TIF surplus financing as possible. The TIF surplus is a one-time revenue source, and that amount changes year to year. I think we can all agree that this is not a true fix to our budget issues," unquote. Any comments?
Yeah, it's one of the most annoying comments that gets thrown around. Again, the TIF diversion is estimated between $400 and $500 million every year. So the annual TIF diversion is just that, an annual diversion of $400, $500 million. If the city wanted to, they just could quietly use that money to pay down the school's obligations. Every year it's coming in. It's not like a one-time deal. Oh, what's going to happen next year? I got news for you guys. It's coming in next year.
That's what puzzled me about that statement.
Well, it's puzzling because it's so disingenuous. It's like everything else in the TIF program. It's a disingenuous statement intended to keep people from demanding that the mayor give up this political power, which the mayor doesn't want to do. And what's frustrating is that the so-called guardians of our Chicago public schools, going from the head, the CEO, to the chief educational officer, to the fellow who's in charge of finance, are playing along with this little scam. And they're doing it to the detriment of their own institution. And then they say, oh, we demand integrity. How could you say you demand integrity when you're allowing hundreds of millions of dollars to fly out the window? And you're doing it because you're bending to the political will of the mayor. You're putting the mayor's political needs ahead of the needs of the Chicago public school students, who are supposed to be your number one interest. It's a game that I've been watching CPS officials play since the early O's, when I first became aware of the fact that there's this diversion going on. And in those days, there was relatively more money for Chicago public schools to play around with because times were better for the city. So it wasn't as important that we hold on to the TIF dollars. And there were very few people who joined the chorus. Now, as I said before, because of the crisis, more people are joining the chorus. And yet, the Board of Ed's official position has not changed, which is this is not a problem. Our mayor is wise and benevolent. He'll give us the money we need. So let's look at other areas like cutting the teachers' pension funds or demanding that the state increase its aid to us, even though the state has already said they're not going to, or at least Rauner has said. That's why I always say TIFs are very important because, again, it's a key source of the mayor's political power. And as a result, people like the mayor's school appointees won't touch it.
The technical point, when a surplus is declared and the city is, quote, giving back, unquote, the increment that it collected to the taxing bodies, the way it's applied for CPS is it's simply a sort of gravy on top of whatever property taxes it's collected in that year and just thrown into its budget. Would you agree?
Well, I actually think they're starting a budget. It's interesting, the games that are being played. Follow me on this. The official position of the mayor is, we don't know at the moment exactly how much money we have available, but when we find out, we'll let you know. And yet it turns out in August, or whenever that budget was prepared, July, they had already budgeted a certain amount.
For TIF surplus.
For TIF surplus. So the whole thing is a freaking game. The real issue is, how much of that money will the mayor be forced to give up? He wants to give up as little as he can, but if there's enough political pressure, he'll give up more. Now, he's not up for re-election this year, so that's a little less pressure on him. But on the other hand, there's the possible teacher strike. So he may want to have to give up more to avoid a teacher strike. I don't know. These are answers that we'll see down the road. I always find it frustrating, and I write about it from time to time, about how our stewards of our public education system are really more than willing to put the mayor's political interests ahead of the interests of the school children.
Ben, that's all we have time for. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, sir.
Listeners, we always welcome your questions and comments and your suggestions for future interviews. Our Twitter handle is CHIGOVT. Our Facebook handle is InsideGov, that's G-O-V. You can always email us via comment@shygov.com. I'm Dave Gloetz. Thanks for listening.
Ouça o som que sai do caxangá. Escute o barulho do mar e o dizer da percussão. Estude, pesquise.